This is the first of three lectures on capital gains tax and partnerships. In this session, we shall examine basic principles of partnership CGT, moving on to more advanced aspects in the next two lectures. The word partnership is not defined in TCGA 1992, so we need to consider the definition contained in Partnership Act 1890, which tells us that a partnership is the relation which subsists between persons carrying on a business in common with a view of profit. Where a partnership exists, we need to be able to deal with the capital gains tax implications, not only when an asset is disposed of, but also when a partner joins or leaves the partnership, or an asset is distributed to a partner, or there is a change in profit sharing ratio between existing partners. The statutory rules relating to partnerships capital gains tax are contained in section 59 TCGA 1992. There is also a statement of practice which explains the way the legislation is applied in practice. Over the course of this and the next two sessions, we'll look at the various situations described above and determine the CGT treatment. Our starting point when looking at partnership CGT is section 59 of the Capital Gains Tax Act of 1992. Section 59 tells us that where two or more persons carry on a trade or business in partnership, tax in respect of chargeable gains accruing to them on the disposal of any partnership assets shall be assessed and charged on them separately. Section 59 also tells us that any partnership dealings shall be treated as dealings by the partners and not by the firm as such. Therefore, by virtue of Section 59, if a partnership disposes of a chargeable asset and makes a capital gain, that resulting capital gain is charged on the individual partners and not on the partnership itself. Partnerships, therefore, do not pay capital gains tax. Similarly, partnerships do not pay income tax. If a partnership makes a trading profit, that trading profit is allocated between the partners, and each individual partner pays income tax on his or her share of the partnership profits as trading income. Section 59 TCGA 1992 is effectively a mirror image for capital gains tax. It should be noted that if a partnership makes a capital gain, details of the gain must be disclosed on the partnership tax return, along with details of how that capital gain will be allocated between the individual partners. Each partner will then disclose his or her share of that gain on their individual self-assessment returns. Under English law, a limited liability partnership is a corporate body, and for legal purposes it is treated in much the same way as a company. However, for tax purposes, a limited liability partnership is taxed in the same way as a normal partnership. This means that any partnership trading profits are assessed on the individual partners rather than on the partnership. Similarly, any partnership capital gains are allocated to the partners themselves and will be reflected on the partners' individual tax returns. The Finance Act 2001 inserted Section 59A into the Capital Gains Tax Act to specifically deal with limited liability partnerships. Section 59A exactly mirrors Section 59 in treating any dealings in chargeable assets by a limited liability partnership as dealings by the individual partners themselves. HMRC practice in the area of partnership capital gains is summarised in Statement of Practice D12. HMRC have confirmed that Statement of Practice D12 applies equally to limited liability partnerships as it does for normal partnerships. Over the course of the next three sessions, we shall take a detailed look at Statement of Practice D12, in particular concentrating on the first five paragraphs. As we'll see, a partner is treated as owning a share of the partnership assets for capital gains tax purposes. Under paragraph 1 of the Statement of Practice, the Revenue have stressed that the value of an individual partner's share in a partnership asset will be taken to be a fraction of the value of the total partnership interest in that asset without any discounting. This is best illustrated by way of an example. For example, let us assume that a partnership consists of four partners, each of whom is entitled to an equal share of the partnership's trading or capital profits. Let's assume that the partnership owns a 100% shareholding in a company called XYZ Limited, the shares in total being valued at £100,000. A 25% holding in isolation is valued at £15,000.
When valuing each partner's 25% share for capital gains tax purposes, we simply take 25% of £100,000, giving £25,000.
The value of an isolated 25% holding of £15,000 is irrelevant. This is what we mean by no discounting.
Paragraph 2 of the Statement of Practice deals with disposals of assets by a partnership to an unconnected third party. On the sale of an asset by a partnership, each partner is deemed to have disposed of a fractional share in the assets.
Essentially, assets owned in the name of a partnership are, for CGT purposes, treated as owned by the individual partners themselves, and on a disposal of an asset, each partner will make a capital gain or loss.
Proceeds are allocated between the partners using agreed capital sharing ratios. Such capital sharing ratios are normally determined by the partnership agreement. Where the partnership agreement does not specifically lay down the allocation of capital surpluses, the proceeds of sale will be the actual destination of the capital surpluses as shown in the partnership accounts. It is quite common for capital sharing ratios to be the same as profit sharing ratios for income tax purposes. However, this will not always be the case.
Proceeds minus cost will give each partner a capital gain or loss on the sale of their share of the asset.
As we have already mentioned, there is no partnership capital gains tax liability, although details of the gain will need to be disclosed on the partnership tax return. By way of an example, let us assume that Alan and Belinda are in partnership.
The partnership owns an office building, which it bought in January 1990 for £100,000. In July 2010, the partnership sells the office to an unconnected third party for £500,000.
As per the partnership agreement, Alan is entitled to 75% of any capital profits, with Belinda entitled to the remaining 25%. We therefore need to calculate two capital gains, one on the disposal of Alan's 75% interest, the other on the disposal of Belinda's 25% interest.
We simply split the proceeds of sale in the ratio 75 to 25 between the two partners.
We do likewise with cost, giving Alan a gain of £300,000 and Belinda a gain of £100,000.
These gains will be disclosed on Alan and Belinda's individual self-assessment returns and will be separately charged to tax. As with income tax, there is no joint and several liability for capital gains tax. Therefore, neither partner can be held liable for the other partner's tax.
As the gains are charged on the partners separately, each partner is entitled to relief for their own losses or annual exemption if available. The individual partners will be able to make claims for relief in respect of any gains as normal. For example, if the asset disposed of is the qualifying asset for rollover relief purposes, a claim for rollover relief can be made by an individual partner if a qualifying reinvestment is made within the normal qualifying period. In addition, if the partnership ceases and the assets of the partnership are sold, claims could be made by the individual partners for entrepreneur's relief, provided the normal conditions have been met, that is, the partner had been a partner for a year prior to the date of cessation and the assets are sold within 3 years of that date.
Paragraph 3 of the Statement of Practice deals with the distribution of partnership assets among the individual partners.
Assets will most commonly be passed between the partners, either on the dissolution of the partnership or where one or more of the partners leave or retire, although it can occur between continuing partners. Mike, Nigel and Ollie are in partnership and share profits 50%, 30% and 20%. Let's assume that the partnership owns a building. Ollie retires, leaves the partnership, and at this point the building is transferred to him.
After Ollie's departure, Mike and Nigel continue to trade and will share profits equally. For capital gains tax purposes, Mike and Nigel are treated as having given up a 50% and a 30% share of a partnership asset, this being a disposal by Mike and Nigel for CGT purposes. As far as Ollie is concerned, his fractional share in the partnership asset goes up from 20% to 100%, and therefore Ollie has made a capital acquisition for CGT purposes. We will therefore need to calculate the capital gain for Mike and Nigel and the new base cost of the asset for Ollie.
Paragraph 3 of the Statement of Practice tells us that the partner receiving the asset, in this instance Ollie, is not treated as making a disposal for CGT purposes, and no capital gain will be charged on him.
However, the partners giving up the asset, in this instance Mike and Nigel, are deemed to have made gains, which will be charged to CGT at the time that the asset is distributed. To calculate the capital gains and the revised base cost, there is a three-step procedure. First, we calculate the chargeable gains which would have arisen had all the partners disposed of their fractional shares at market value. Effectively, we calculate a capital gain in the hands of each of Mike, Nigel and Ollie, assuming the asset had been sold to an outside third party for its market value. The gains accruing to the partners giving up the asset are immediately charged to capital gains tax. However, the gain accruing to the partner receiving the asset is only a notional gain and is not charged to CGT. Instead, the receiving partner is deemed to have bought the asset for an amount equal to the market value of the asset, less this notional gain. In effect, the notional gain is rolled over and reduces Ollie's CGT base cost. Let's assume that Mike, Nigel and Ollie share capital profits 50%, 30% and 20% respectively. The partnership jointly owns a building which it bought for £100,000 in January 1987. Ollie retires from the partnership. The asset passes to Ollie and has a market value of £500,000 at the date of the distribution. According to paragraph 3 of the Statement of Practice, we first calculate the gain that would have arisen had the partners sold the asset for its market value. This is exactly the same computation as we carried out previously, i.e. a share of proceeds less cost, giving each partner a chargeable gain on the deemed disposal of the asset. As Mike is giving up a 50% interest in the asset, he'll be charged on a gain of £200,000 at the time of the distribution. As Nigel is giving up a 30% interest in the asset, he'll be charged on a gain of £120,000 at the time of the distribution. However, as Ollie is not giving up a part of the asset, his notional gain of £80,000 will not be charged to capital gains tax. Ollie's interest in the partnership asset is now 100%.
Ollie is deemed to have acquired the asset for its market value at the date of distribution of £500,000.
However, Ollie's CGT base cost to be carried forward is the market value of the asset less this notional gain. Effectively, the notional gain is rolled against the base cost, leaving Ollie with a CGT base cost of the asset of £420,000.
The same principles apply if, at the date of the distribution, the asset is standing at a loss. If a loss arises on the distribution of an asset between partners, the partner leaving the partnership will have an actual loss which he or she will be able to set against other capital gains in the year. However, the partner or partners receiving the asset will have a notional loss. This notional loss will again be rolled over against the CGT base cost.
Dean, Elaine and Felicity are in partnership. Dean is entitled to 45% of capital surpluses, Elaine 35% and Felicity 20%. The partnership owns a freehold office, which they acquired for £500,000 in September 1988.
In March 2011, the office was transferred to Felicity when it was valued at £300,000.
As this is the distribution of an asset in kind to a partner, in accordance with the Statement of Practice, we first assume that each partner had sold his or her fractional share in the building for an amount equal to its market value. As the building is standing at a loss on this deemed disposal, each of the partners will have made a capital loss. As Dean is giving up his 45% interest in the partnership, at the date of the distribution, Dean makes an allowable loss of £90,000. This loss is available for Dean
in 2010-11
and can be set against any other gains he makes in the year, or it can be carried forward. The same applies to Elaine in respect of her loss of £70,000. However, as Felicity is not giving up the asset, she has made a notional loss. Felicity's notional loss on the distribution is £40,000. This notional loss will be rolled over and will act to increase Felicity's CGT base cost. Let us now identify Felicity's base cost. The market value of the building at the date of the distribution is £300,000. We increase this by the notional loss rolled over. Therefore, Felicity's base cost in the event of a future disposal of the building is £340,000.